It is September the 6th, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of gerwick.net. That's www.gerweck.net. And tonight I welcome to the website a special guest, a former WWE superstar who wore many hats in WWE, Freakin' Deacon, the fake or imposter Kane. He was Festus for a time. And then most recently he was Luke Gallows with Straight Edge Society. And tonight I give you Luke Gallows. How you doing tonight, Luke?
Good, Steve. Good to be on the program. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and we do appreciate your time. And probably the most recent thing we've heard about you, of course, was this very interesting tour of Africa that we'll get into as we progress. But I think up front, we'd like to know a little bit about what happened with WWE. And towards the end, you were, of course, in the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk and Serena Deeb. What happened there with WWE? And I guess the obvious question is, why are you no longer with the company?
I don't know if I'm the best person to ask that question or not. I think it ultimately lays within the powers of the B, but the way I kind of saw it was we started the thing. They wanted, Punk to have a big heater guy and stuff like that. And, he wanted them to use me in that role. One, because we were friends, and two, because they worked with me. And, he liked my work and stuff like that. So they put us together, and then we started doing the Straight Edge deal and doing the head shaving and stuff, and then we brought Serena on board and then eventually Joey Mercury. And we were pretty dominant heel faction on TV for those that were watching during that period there for a little while. And it all kind of came apart at the same time. SummerSlam weekend, Joey Mercury tears his pec in the match we have with Big Show, and then in the days following, Serena Deeb gets let go unexpectedly by the company. So it was kind of like, we built this thing up and, we had all this stuff, this kind of momentum going, and then it all kind of fell apart at once. And then, they decided, it's back to Punk and I, and the momentum's kind of missing now. So they decided to split us up, and he's going to move to Raw because, obviously creatively they want a talent like that on Raw, and I was going to stay on SmackDown and become a babyface, but I think that it just never got started for whatever reason with me on SmackDown. And I don't know if I need to change gears creatively there or what. We talked about a few things, but ultimately I started to become a little unhappy because you see yourself go from a predominant role on television every week to doing the Superstars match where you don't know if you're going to work the heel or face or do the dark match role kind of thing with the new guys come in, which I didn't mind doing, but you feel like you're kind of spinning your wheels. And it wasn't like an animosity thing, but I just felt like, I was 26 at the time, 27 now, and I was like, this is not good or not where I wanted to be. So it was kind of like when Johnny called, it was kind of like a little relief. We both kind of agreed that it would be good for me to go away for a while and work some other places and, maybe come back down the line, in a different type of role. And hopefully that's where it'll take place, but I really enjoyed my experience post WWE because with the independence, from the time I was 18 years old, but I signed there when I was 21, so I spent my whole adult life, in that capacity. So going there and getting to learn from all those people and all the great talented people they have working with them as far as the agents and the veteran guys and stuff like that was a great, great experience for me. And now I'm getting to take that experience and go out to these different pockets of the world, and sometimes it's really positive, and like we talked about, the aspects were sometimes not so much, but I really, really love working and performing, and I really feel like I'm fun. My charisma within my own personality and not playing, some character that I'm, not really am and things like that, kind of being out on my own. So I think that this time is a great kind of a formative time for me, away from the WWE umbrella, but still on good terms with them and stuff like that. So, I'd be lying if I said I don't want to go back there at some point. I think it's a very real possibility.
I'm going to ask a two-part question. I believe when you signed with WWE, the developmental deal to go to Deep South, you only had been wrestling for about a year or so. Do you feel like you were ready to go to WWE at that time in 2006 when you agreed to a developmental deal? And do you think you were ready for the big time when they did call you up to the main roster?
Yes and no. I mean, I signed there in March of 2005. Started doing the independence, I guess, right around 3 years before that. But it wasn't like I went to Harley Race or I went up to Calgary or somewhere like that and learn from, like, you know, the best guys in the business. I was playing college football at a Division II school in West Virginia, and I had the wrestling bug bad from the time I was 8 years old. It was all I wanted to do. And they had a little, small independent promotion that didn't have a lot of great workers or anything, but they saw me, you know, 18 years old, 6'7", 320 pounds, and, you know, I was ready. And in my mind, I was ready, and they were like, well, yeah, this guy looks like a wrestler. Let's bring him on. And, I mean, not a lot of formal training or anything like that. They kind of threw me in the mix, and then I wanted to do it so bad that I reached out and made contacts and kind of started making my way up and down the East Coast a little bit, but never anywhere that, you know, gave me enough exposure to stand out. But I started sending stuff to the WWE about a year in, and just kind of tried to push forward. I knew that I was green. I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but I was out there as much as anybody doing these 10-hour car rides for no money and stuff like that because I really, really wanted it. So I think when I got the contract, I wasn't ready, but I think they knew that as well. I mean, they signed 16 of us originally at D-South, and I was, you know, when I got let go, I think I was one of, you know, of the original members. There was like me and Miz, and maybe one other guy left. I think Skip Sheffield, but he'd been fired and brought back. So, you know, it was like they brought a bunch of us in, and not everybody lasted very long and stuff like that. But I valued my experience there. And then, you know, the fake cane thing was the first time I got called up, and that was what it was. And I think, you know, looking back on it, it was more to promote the movie for Glenn and stuff. And I'm glad that, you know, I got to be a part of that and hopefully help out some of that a little bit. But I don't think that there would have been any longevity to me, you know, being the imposter Kane. But it was a good experience, even if it was, if some people consider it wrestle crap. I mean, it might be, but I felt like for me being, you know, 22 years old or whatever, and as green as I was, that I went out there and, you know, did my best to hang with him on the pay-per-view. I'm not ashamed of the match or anything like that. That was a good, good big man match, and he was great, you know, to me, being young and green and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, it was what it was.
What's your thoughts on the WWE developmental? Because you were there when it was Deep South in Atlanta rather than now it's currently Florida Championship Wrestling in Tampa. You know, talk about your experience there. Do you think you learned? I know you were training under Bill DeMott. Of course, it was just on Tough Enough as a trainer. Talk about your training there. And I guess what a general question would be is with WWE developmental, there's a lot of criticism that there's only one territory. You know, back few years ago, there used to be two or three or four territories. WWE would have, you know, Los Angeles. They'd be in Louisville. They'd have a Puerto Rican connection with the IWA. But currently, they only have one territory. So I guess a broad question would be your overall opinion of developmental. Do you think it's a good way for a young and upcoming wrestler to learn, I guess basically to learn the ropes to be a big-time pro wrestler?
Well, I mean, that's, God, we could spend 2 hours on that question, but I'll start with the first part, and, you know, I came in with Bill DeMott, and he's been widely criticized on the internet and stuff like that, but I think that Bill DeMott, for me, you know, I kind of came in sort of in an old way anyway, with driving out for no money and trying to make it, so I appreciated the experience of getting to go there and be under contract, and I mean, it was rigorous, a lot of it, but I think Bill's got that old school mentality that's missing a little bit, you know, now with some of the guys who find their way into the business. And, you know, it wasn't a bad time for me. I mean, I was going along well with Bill. I respected him. I think that, you know, he ended up telling me that, you know, even though when I first came to him, I didn't know exactly what the hell I was doing, but I earned his respect through my work ethic and stuff. So I was always proud of that. Proud to say that I came through that. From, you know, I was there from the day it opened to the day it closed. So, you know, that was a positive experience for me overall. And then, you know, Tom Pritchard came in, and I can't say enough good things about him. I think that Dr. Tom was great. He's one of the best guys, you know, in the world to be training these guys now. And I can't imagine how good it is adding Joey Mercury into the mix. I mean, Joey's a friend of mine, but, you know, that guy is so gifted. I, you know, it's great that he's down there training the guys, but I think that they're kind of missing out not having him on the road performing in some capacity. But I think that, you know, the territories are gone, and that stinks. We're never going to get it back. I mean, not in the foreseeable future. I mean, that was obviously the best way to come in and learn this business was to get to go to different pockets of the country and the world, for that matter, and learn different styles and learn from different guys, and there are different things you would pick up. And Memphis or in Portland with Don Owen, or you know, in Texas with Paul Bosch, or going down to Puerto Rico. And, you know, that's stuff that, you know, we can only see on videotape now. So I think what WWE tried to do, what it seemed like to me, because I've been down to Florida and seen the operation, it's damn impressive. And they took Steve Trent, who was a really fine agent for them in Tampa, and they built like a WWE super center almost. It's like the thing's huge, and they got their own television studio in there. They run regular live events. I talk to Joey all the time, and, you know, he's on the road half the time that I'm talking to him going, you know, around Florida, and they kind of reprised the Eddie Graham territory a little bit with a lot of the same old talent and stuff like that. And, I mean, you know, WWE's corporate now, so I think they're doing the best that they can to make it work. You know, I don't know that it would be feasible to have five or six of these things for them in all these different pockets, because they're a worldwide company and you can only spread yourself so thin. I mean, I know that it's huge, but I think that, you know, for the situation being what it is, that they're creating the best environment that they can for the new talent coming in.
You know, you were mentioning, you know, back in the day there was territories, and you're talking about Portland and you're talking Memphis. Do you consider yourself a student of the game? Are you one that, you know, likes to watch old tapes? And did you, just curious, who was some of your favorites, like, growing up?
Oh, God, there were tons of them. I mean, the guys that first caught my eye were the guys that caught everybody's eyes at my age group. I mean, when I first saw pro wrestling, I mean, see Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and guys like, you know, as I got into it more and more, and I discovered the NWA and WCW. There were so many great guys there, from, you know, of course, Ric Flair to, like, Barry Windham and stuff like that. And then, you know, as a teenager, it just got deeper every year older that I got. Like, I discovered Japan and Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, and I was like, that's pro wrestling. That's what I want to be getting there. You know, so I, you know, spent a lot of time on the couch watching, you know, all kinds of guys from all kinds of different territories. I, you know, I bet I have one of the biggest you know, wrestling DVD libraries of anybody active, you know, now. But I do enjoy watching different stuff and things like that. I mean, you don't get to do it as much, you know, as you become an adult. Like, I have a 4-year-old son now and stuff, so when I'm off the road, I spend a lot more time with him. But it's funny because they'll be like, "Dad, let's go watch wrestling." I'm like, "Great. Have you ever seen, you know, Eddie Gilbert? Let's watch this." It's a good time.
Do you have a favorite, like, time period or promotion that you most go back to and watch over and over?
You know, I think that there were so many different things from so many different eras that were just great. And, you know, as time passes, you can put so many different things in. And I liked everything. You know, I liked the world-class stuff. I like, you know, I remember being, you know, 12 or something, and I couldn't wait for WCW Saturday Night. And I was probably the only person that was their favorite show. I thought it was great. You'd see guys you never saw before, you know, and it was always something different. Different stuff like that, you know, and I, you know, I can't pick one particular thing, you know, that was like my standout thing, but I, you know, I've always enjoyed all of it.
I tell you, when you talk about emulating, you know, you're talking about Stan Hansen. I remember him as a kid myself, you know, watching those old AWA tapes, and I mean, that was a guy that could intimidate you. I mean, that was a guy, when you saw him in the ring, is like, I mean, some of the guys you see now today, no offense to them, like a Cody Rhodes or you know, some like Ted DiBiase, but you think back to a Stan Hansen. I mean, that would a guy, you could probably lose sleep thinking about that guy overnight. So.
Yeah, it's Stan Hansen looked like a man's man. He looked like your uncle down at the bar who would kick your ass if you looked across at him. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes that's missing from wrestling. The guys may have way better bodies and stuff like that now, but, like, you know, I saw him at the NWA Legends Convention a couple of weeks back there, and just I was like, man. That's a man, you know, that's the kind of dude right there that wrestling needs right now, is somebody, you know, to refill that role. Because that was a guy that I think that, you know, if you walked into a bar and you were a mark watching TV, he wouldn't be somebody you'd want to walk up and cross, because you'd probably figure you'd get your ass kicked, you know?
I would definitely agree with that. I was wondering, if you were to go back to WWE tomorrow and they said, you know, you've done these different characters now, what type of character would you like to portray on television?
I don't really want to say, because I have some ideas that I'm kicking around in my own head, but I don't know. I definitely know that if and hopefully when, you know, I go back, that I'd like to be on my own. I'd like to step out and be on my own, because any time that I've done something on TV in any kind of major capacity, it was with somebody else. You know, when we were Jesse's Festus, they, you know, for a little pocket of time, people got behind the Festus character and got over stuff like that. But I was still with Ray all the time, and I loved being with Ray. I was a great guy, and a great partner, and stuff like that. And of course, when I was gone, you know, I started to show a different side and, you know, a little difference in my style and things like that. But I mean, I obviously wasn't going to overshadow CM Punk. It's not the best in the world, but I was his bodyguard. But, I really want to step out and show people, you know, that there's more to me as a performer than, you know, just doing a gimmick or you know, being a minion. And I think that I have a lot more to offer, and I think that the next time around, that's going to come out for sure.
You know, when you were doing the tag team with Jesse there, I thought you guys would, I don't know, it's just like they kind of dropped the ball with that one. They gave it a push, and then they just kind of gave up on it. Did you ever feel like that when you were kind of your days in WWE, that they would give you a gimmick, they'd run with it, and then all of a sudden they just kind of dropped the ball with it?
You know, that's a hard question to answer, because I think that there are so many people that have to be pleased and appeased, and there's so many corporate things that go into who goes where and what happens, that a lot of us who look at it just as pro wrestling, I mean, I wish it still was, but, I mean, simply put, it's not anymore. There's so many other factors in what goes on and what goes into all this stuff that, you know, we don't even know about. So, you know, I mean, you can feel like that, but I always try to keep a positive attitude, and I enjoyed my time there. I'm not bitter about stuff. I think there were things that, you know, could have been done better, and I think that, like, you know, I pitched a lot of ideas with Festus that I thought would have been really cool, eventually having start to speak or turn heel, you know, and do different things like that. But, yeah, I think it would have been cool and it would have worked if they would have done it. But, you know, they didn't. So you can't sit and go, well, you know, I got sour grapes and they should have done this with me. They should have done that, because all that's going to do is ruin you. And I still love the business. I, you know, I enjoy both of those gimmicks. So I don't have anything bad to say about it. You know, it gave me an opportunity to provide my family with some really good living and doing what I always wanted to do. I'm still doing it. So I'm going to have to follow that.
Where is Ray Gordy today?
Ray Gordy is a police officer in North Atlanta, which I know, but I think that with Ray, it was kind of his wife wanting him to be home more. He kind of felt like he got slighted a little bit there, because and maybe he did, because he got in really, really great shape when they kind of dropped the Jets and Cuts with me to Raw, and I was by myself, and then they brought him back with the rapper gimmick or whatever, and he looked amazing, and he could always work. So, you know, I think that was kind of the end of it for him. And plus, I think there were outside issues for him too, because he came up in the business and he had hardships in the business that, you know, a guy like me who just grew up loving it and only seeing the positive sides of it didn't know about. You know, I'm sure there were some dark times there with his dad and stuff like that, and his father passing away young, and all that weighs heavy on you, especially when you're out on the road and doing this for a living full time.
That's too bad he's out of the business, because I thought a lot of him, and of course, you know, being the son of a free bird like that, that, you know, he obviously had picked up so much from his dad. And there was another guy, you're talking about Stan Hansen, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, who could put some scare into you, you know.
Absolutely. He was an amazing big man, and another guy that I spent a lot of time, you know, watching and trying at least to emulate, you know, stuff like that.
And then you got the Freebirds, and you were working with Michael PSAs.
Yeah. I mean, it was – Michael's super cool, always was, still is. So I enjoyed that, you know, getting to learn from him and getting to tag with Ray, and kind of made me feel like a junior Freebird there for a little while, you know.
What was your favorite run, or what was your favorite gimmick in WWE?
You know, there were things about Festus I really loved. Like, I loved the match I got to have with Undertaker on SmackDown. But I had a really great time, you know, with doing Luke and being with Punk and Joey, and we got along so good together in those times. But, you know, that thing clicked so well, and it was really, really good. And the same with Jesse and I. Like, the one thing I always say about him when I do these interviews is, like, we were, like, real tagging partners. We room together, we shared a car together, we go to the bar together, like, we were the real deal, you know. It wasn't like he went his way and I went my way. Like, we were in the car trying to think of stuff and different things we could do to try to get over, and just hanging out, being on the road and enjoying, you know, being young and getting to kind of live the dream a little bit. So I have really fond memories of all that stuff. So I don't think I have necessarily favorite because they were so different, you know. Luke is a part of, you know, heel faction and this militant kind of guy, and then Festus is like the lovable crazy man who's a big baby face. So it was two completely different things, you know.
Now you did the imposter Kane, and of course Kane's kind of been off television for a while, and you know, when you were doing the imposter Kane, of course, with the mask, you know, when I always think of Kane, you know, in his heyday, I always liked him better with the mask.
I know that I have two opinions of everything. I'm just like that. To one degree, I think that, like, his mystique kind of went away when the mask came off. Because he was scary. He was like a real-life Jason Voorhees, but he was big and jacked and could kick the shit out of you. I mean, it was the movie. You could see it, you know, right in front of your eyes. But to another degree, you know, when, like, being on live events and being in the ring with him and stuff like that, I don't know that, other than Undertaker, I've ever been in the ring with a guy who had more presence or who was more aware of who and what he was than Glenn Jacobs portraying Kane. And, like, he has great facial expressions and just a presence and a command for who and what he is. And, I mean, he's a believable guy. He's this big, giant red monster. So, you know, if anything, as a fan, I would love to see him come back for his, you know, whenever it's going to be, his big final run, and put the mask back on one more time, you know, maybe for the last one. But I've enjoyed seeing him kind of go from one thing to another. It's kind of like if you look at the Taker's career, the guys who are big-time players and stay there that long, you kind of have to change with the times and change it up. You can't stay, you know, he couldn't have been the Taker from 1990 right now if it wouldn't fit. And I think that that was part of the evolution of that character and that gimmick or whatever you want to call it. And the same kind of thing with Kane, you know. And I do think it would be cool to put the mask back on and come back to something completely new, different, and scary for the last go-round. You know, if the last go-round was now, I might have been like 10 more years, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to see him one more run with the mask. I think that'd be very intriguing with that character. Going back to the Straight Edge Society, you know, you were talking, you know, Joey got hurt, and then eventually they released Serena. Did at any point did you kind of see the writing on the wall for that group, or did you always have hopes that maybe they have?
Absolutely. I think the next week after SummerSlam, I was going, you know, kind of like, I mean, I'm always positive. So I was like, well, you know, I got ideas. But it was kind of like, because I didn't know the particulars of the plans, but there were still big plans for the group to continue, and I think continue strong. And then it was kind of like, there's no group anymore. So, you know, but, you can't change history and you can't rewrite it. So this is what it is.
What was what was CM Punk's reaction when they ended the group?
I don't think he was happy about it. He was a fan of the group and he was had a lot of great ideas and he still does. I think if you ask him now, he would be happy because he's the number one thing since I don't know the Attitude Era with the stuff he's been doing lately.
Yeah.
But at the time, I don't think that he was happy with it once did. But, you know, that's, you know, just one man's opinion. So,
Yeah, what did you think of CM Punk when he became that real hot thing about a month or two ago?
I couldn't be happy for him. He's my buddy. You know, I don't call him up and talk to him about wrestling because I don't want to be that guy. But, God, that's such a guy that, like, I always love when I hear people go, like, oh, CM Punk's a dick. But if he's not, he's so passionate about the business, and he cares about what he's doing and about the people in it and the way it comes off and things like that, and there are not enough people that are left like that. And I was glad that he kind of was able to speak his mind and let the audience hear it and look at how they reacted. You know, it was like a transcending moment when all that stuff was going on. I was actually in another part of Africa when all that first started. I came home and caught up with it.
Yeah, we're getting some questions from our Twitter page as well, and they want to know what it was like working with Joey Mercury and Serena.
That was cool. We had good chemistry together. Some of my favorite matches in WWE actually were matches that were never seen because they never did it once on television, but I loved tagging with Joey Mercury. With Serena on the floor, we were like an old-school tag team. I was a big man. He was a small guy. And anybody who's ever seen Joey, like, in his element or appreciates good work rating, he could just work his ass off. He's awesome. And, I mean, you know, we had a series of matches with the Hart Dynasty in Australia, and you know, Joey and Tyson Kidd would start. I would just be standing on the apron marking out, watching, because they're both great. And we had some really good matches with them. And I, you know, I wish people would have gotten to see them more. But it was so much fun. That was some of my favorite stuff that I ever got to be there, because we just get to go out and have, you know, 17, 20, 25 minutes and just go out and work and do our thing. And it was really cool. I really love tagging with him. And he's one of my closest friends in or out of wrestling. You know, I just can't say enough good stuff about him. I think it's awesome that the young guys now are getting to learn from somebody like that who's been in the business since he was a kid. You know, he's still a young guy and can get in there and show him how to do it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was like the tag team Eminem as well. I was a very good worker. It's too bad that, you know, he's had the injuries and the personal demons that's kind of sidetracked his career. But I agree with you. I think he's a great talent. I'm glad that he's down in Florida Championship Wrestling helping some of the younger guys, too. I think that's
that was
a great asset to the company, you know.
I was really proud of, too, was, like, he came back and, you know, he was, like, clean and sober and fresh and new and just completely turned his life around and had, like, a real appetite and passion for the business. Like, you know, you don't see with a lot of guys.
Right.
I feel like I'm like that too, and I love being with him. You know, we had a great time because we came up and, you know, doing independence and knew a lot of the same old brothers from the circuit and stuff like that. So we had a lot to laugh about. You know, we had a lot of fun together too. I learned a lot from him.
I know you always stay positive, but do you feel overall you were given a fair chance in WWE?
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask. I don't want to say I'm glad that I've been fired, but I think that if I go back, being fired is the best thing that ever happened to me. Because if I would have stayed there, I would have stayed, you know, I was a company kind of yes man kind of guy for a long time. I think now I'll have a different approach to everything. You know what I'm saying? And I think that maturing as a performer and getting to go different places and figure out what works for you without somebody else telling you what works for you teaches you how to be better than you've ever been, especially if you've always kind of been told, steered, and geared which direction you should go. And, I think it's been really helpful for me to kind of go out and be my own boss, you know, go to all these different places and different countries and, you know, all that stuff has really been good for me. So, I don't know that I got a fair shake or not. I guess that's more of a question for the fans to answer than me. Did they
sure
answer, did they not? I'm sure you'll get a bunch of different answers on that. So.
I want to ask you about the creative process in WWE, and I know that we hear oftentimes that WWE books on the fly, that they book Raw sometimes, you know, at either the weekend or the day of Raw, that they're constantly changing things, they're changing their minds. We hear Vince McMahon is always changing his mind, always changing opinions. What's your thought overall the creative process in WWE and in terms of, you know, long term storylines, character development, and that kinds of things with WWE?
Well, I was never hands on enough, and this is honest, with that to really know. I mean, I was never, you know, a solo main eventer, obviously, but I was always so caught up in what I was doing or what I was trying to get done on television or trying to push as my own idea or whatever that, you know, I never stepped back and looked at the whole creative process and passed judgment on it, because I was kind of myself in my spot and trying to get myself as much as I could, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, in the end, you can say what you want, but Vince did create the whole damn thing. So if he wants to change his mind, I guess that's, you know, that's up to him.
His company, right?
Right, yeah, I mean, I'm running my own show on Saturday for the first time. I'm going to do what the hell I want, that's for sure.
Another question we had about Vince is, what's it like working under Vince? How is he as a boss?
You know, it's cool to me, but it's not like I spend a lot of time, like, hanging out in the office eating peanuts and hearing protein shakes with him, you know. But anytime we had dealings, he always was positive, and he seemed like he liked my stuff and things like that. And, you know, I said, well, you ended up getting fired, and I did. So I don't know how much he did or he didn't, but he always was pretty much, you know, the man with me, and always looked each other in the eye and shook hands, and, you know, I kind of tried to do my best for him, and we treated him pretty good there. So, you know, in my personal opinion, he was all right.
You know, you've been away from WWE about a year now. You get a chance to watch the WWE's, you know, Raw and SmackDown, and You know, what's your overall opinion of the current product?
You know, I kind of, for the first time in my life, I don't know if it was being bitter or just being busy with other stuff and life, but gotten away from watching it a little bit. So I've just kind of, like, the punk stuff has got me kind of back into it. So I think the TV's pretty good right now, you know.
Okay.
So I watch pretty much everything. There was a period about 6 months there where I didn't watch any of it at all. And that was the first time I didn't, so it's kind of like a freshness for me not to see it every week. So I'm kind of getting back into it a little bit.
Do you watch TNA?
Yeah, I watch TNA. I got a lot of friends there, so I like to see them do well. I haven't seen it in about a month, but I had some qualms overseas that I had to get over, so I haven't been able to catch up on my wrestling television too much. But yeah, I want to see TNA do well. I want to see the business do well. I'll be Ring of Honor, you know, the same way. Happy for the guys out there working with. I just want to see the business grow and
Have you gotten any feelers? Have you ever talked to TNA about coming in and working for that company?
Yeah, I have. I went down there and I went to Dark, and everybody seemed to really like it when I came back. It was all very positive. It was a good experience. That was hot. There have been some ideas vaguely thrown back and forth, but nothing's ever some concrete or anything. There's nothing solid on the table. I've been pretty, up until this Nigerian tour, I've been pretty fortunate. I've been quite busy, and I do a lot of stuff overseas, but it's pretty well paid, things like that. So I never reached out. I was like, hey, I need a job. Is there any way, So kind of, not gone past the early stages at all, but not saying that I would be there, because, probably would.
Now, of course, we have to talk about the Nigerian tour. There was a lot of tweeting. If you're on the Twitter, you can follow Domino and Luke Galloway. They're both on Twitter. And, of course, we were trying to keep track of the drama that was going on in Nigeria. I guess, overall, how did this tour come about? And what happened on the tour? And I know you're just talking to you offline. You're just kind of happy to be home after quite the ordeal over there.
Bottom line was, I've been over there for this particular group or man, I guess it was my third trip, and it's always been a little shaky, but I've always got all my money, and the fans have always been good. Hotel's fine, they treated me good and stuff like that, and they've been wanting me to be the booker and be the American kind of liaison for them and all this stuff, and I wanted to, but I didn't want to, and I've taken, one or two independent guys, and this time I took, they wanted a TV guy, so I brought Domino, and I brought Michael Taylor with me, and it was like, as soon as we got there, the bomb went off, they bombed the UN building, unfortunately, and completely hit the fan, and it was just brutal from that point on. The only good stuff, like, the first show was really cool, the fans were rocking, there were a ton of people there. And, we had a blast. I mean, it's not so bad. I've been positive the whole interview, but I will bury power to get the shit, garbage worker, and a garbage businessman as well. I had a great time. I love Domino, and I love Michael Taylor. I just remember standing on the outside of the ring, and power to can't get one thing lined up right. And we're already pissed at him because he's been dicking us around already. And Cliff Domino looked out at me and goes, "What are you doing with this guy?" And I just said, "Punch him in the balls!" And he reaches out and punches him in the balls about as hard as he can, and Power Hardy still won't sell that. So aside from all that, once we were kind of under lockdown, then everything stopped being funny, because to really go anywhere, and it's dangerous for us to go anywhere anyway, especially by ourselves there. We're told to stay kind of in the hotel if we're not with our keepers, and all of a sudden we don't have any keepers, and I was forced to go to another city. Say forced, but basically told if I wanted to go home, I had to go there and do this other match with them, and so they could have footage of it. So I went and reluctantly participated and cut my head off for no reason, and with the hopes to get out there after being left to stand out in the sun for an hour and a half alone with armed guards while you know, because they think everything's a shoot there, they send Micah Taylor into the general's house, who is behind all these shenanigans, apparently. And he doesn't want to meet me because he says that, you know, he wants to see me killed and wants to see me crushed and all this stuff, and told that we have to go do this match. And we have like a 3:30 flight, and it's 2:45, and we're going to head to the building to do this match. So, of course, we missed these flights that we're supposed to have that we didn't end up having. So I have to buy flights back to the other city that's the port to get out. And we get there, and we don't have the flights home. So, you know, it's a shoot, and I'm the booker, and he's the chairman. So we're sitting in the office of Eric Airlines, you know, begging this lady to find a way to get us out of there, and they end up, you know, taking us for more of our own money. And all, and Domino's stuck at the hotel because they didn't take him to the other city, you know, and they got him by the arms, and he's got to pay $900 for our food bill at the hotel or whatever it was out of his pocket to get out of the hotel. And it's just one thing after another. It was like one of those wrestling tour horror stories. And then Tyler Eady has like the balls to show up at the airport to try to, I don't know if they're trying to make it right or what, but at that point, I was ready to fight. I don't know these guys over there now. I have like the complete ass, and the, you know, two of my really close friends. And, you know, it was like, a lot of times everyone has an M16 but you, and here I am, this, you know, big Caucasian American wrestler, and they're screaming in this guy's face, and he's a national hero there. He's like, he's over as Hulk Hogan in his own country, and everybody loves him, and now all of a sudden the army's out there on me like I've done something wrong, but they don't know, or maybe they did know. How do I know? It's the place where they extort everybody. You know, what this guy has done, and he owes me money still, and he made my friend pay his way out of the hotel, he forced me to go to this other city, and he didn't have my flights home, and I got two other guys that I'm responsible for, so it's just one thing after another, and, you know, finally, we're just glad to get on the plane and get the hell out of there, you know, I mean, on the way over, I was in business class, and thinking this was going to be a breeze, and on the way back, I was in middle seat, just glad to be flying home, so, you know.
Did you ever really feel, you know, in danger for your life at any point?
I never thought they were going to kill us because I didn't think they'd get away with it. But there were times when I thought that we maybe just, like, you know, left there, you know, with no way to get home and to kind of fend for ourselves in the street. And at that point, it would have been really hairy as far as our lives went, I think, because, you know, they never showed up, paid any of the hotel bills for any of the nights, stuff like that, and they didn't. They didn't pay for the food. They didn't do anything that they were supposed to do. So it's kind of like good that they ended up wanting to do that other match and have us out of there. We've been, you know, thrown out on our ass to come to ourselves in the middle of Nigeria. So it was, it sucked. Looking back on it, it was funny, but it wasn't so funny at the time. But, I don't know. One of those things, but it was just one thing after another, like, couldn't go right, and you just start realizing what a con artist that's in front of you and is telling you all this stuff. And it was absolutely brutal.
Are you involved in the Congo show that's going to have Bill Goldberg come out of retirement?
I don't know what you're talking about. What Congo show?
I don't know. There's a lot of talk that Bill Goldberg is going to come out of retirement and then wrestle in the Congo.
Well, there's rumors. Who knows?
So let's talk about Wrestling Revolution.
Yeah, you know, that just kind of came about and popped up for me. I changed my phone number. Some weirdos tracked down and wouldn't leave me alone. So I changed my number, and you know, Jeff Katz, I guess, couldn't get a hold of me. So he finally did and kind of told me about the concept. I got really excited really quick about it. So I'm seriously looking forward to that. That's like the next thing coming up that I'm seriously excited about. I think that, you know, if it turns out the way that everybody hopes and says it will, it's going to be really, really cool. And I think it's going to show pro wrestling in a totally different light. And I think that it's going to be something for fans really to dig and enjoy. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Are you, in general, are you getting a lot of calls for independent dates? Are you, I know a lot of times after a WWE superstar or diva release, they're kind of that hot period where everybody wants to book them. And you've been, you know, away from WWE almost a year now. Are you still getting, is your phone still ringing a lot for bookings?
Here's the thing with that, my personal opinion. You're not lazy. You're not afraid to get yourself out there and hustle and let people know that you're out there, you're alive, and you're working. And, you know, you go in, you do good business for people, and you work hard. You can stay booked. I mean, it's way easier when you first come off, but, you know, then, you know, I keep it out there. I keep myself going. I'm always busy. You know, rarely is there ever a weekend that I don't have something. If not, you know, a double or a triple shot, if I can, you know, line it all up. And then I rely heavily on the overseas stuff as well. I love to go over and do that, you know, just about anywhere. So I got more Africa stuff coming up. You know, we don't know where. But I got Australia coming up. It looks like Chile's a possibility, India. So there's a lot of good irons in the fire. I'm looking forward to going back to Japan. I'm working on a new place to go over there that I haven't been yet. So, you know, I stay as busy as I can. I want to be busy all the time. I like being busy, and, you know, I really enjoy working and stuff. So it's been really good, and I'm endeavoring into my first show this week that I'm actually going to promote. And that was something that it's experimental. I never knew how much work goes into it, but I'm really excited about that too. Seeing if I can pull it off. I think we've got a pretty good lineup and stuff like that, but I didn't know, you know, you're just a wrestler and you show up and perform and get paid. You know, it's hard, but it's a hell of a lot easier than this. I didn't have any idea what went into it, you know, because I wanted to do it properly and advertise and get the word out and have, you know, some good talent come in and things like that. And it's pretty much become a full-time job for me, and I've never really had a real one of those. So it's different for sure, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, you're in the midst of the Domino Luke Gallows World Tour, correct?
We are in the midst of the Domino Luke Gallows World Tour. It's only getting bigger, folks, so please bring it to the city near you.
what is Luke Gallows like away from the ring?
I think anybody knows me, tell you, I'm just a good timer, country boy. You know, I like to have a good time. I love my wrestling and going out, doing my thing, you know. I finally met a good girl to settle down with, and it took a really long time to do that, so I guess I'm a little bit more tame than I used to be. But,
No, that'll do it.
Yeah. I needed a little structure.
Are you a fan of mixed martial arts?
No, not near as much as everybody else. I've always been a wrestling fan. I don't know. People hate me for saying this, but I just don't find it that interesting. I don't follow it. I don't watch it. You know, I'm glad for Brock Lesnar because he came from our business, stuff like that. I think that's a good thing, but it's just not my thing. I'd rather watch old WCW tapes or something. Call me a nerd, but I don't get into it.
Yeah, they were Monday night. They were plugging the WWE Network coming in 2012, so maybe you'll get a chance to see all those old tapes over again.
Maybe somebody can give me a free subscription to that. I don't know.
Hey, there you go. Anybody wants to do that? They can probably do. They can follow you on Twitter, and they can send you a subscription code, right? Speaking of social media, why don't you get and plug your Twitter? And are you also on Facebook?
Yeah. The Facebook is Official Luke Gallows. Twitter is at Real Gallows. And for any booking inquiries, you can email me at bookbiglg@gmail.com.
And so, we'll
pretty easy to get in touch with.
We'll definitely plug that on our site as well for you and put the word out for you. And one of the final questions we have for you is, what was the best rib you ever played on somebody?
Oh, geez. There's nothing I can really say here. My ribs are kind of far out. I don't have a clean one to tell you, y'all.
did anybody ever get you real good?
Did anybody ever really got me? Yeah, no, not bad. Because I'm not because it was like, you couldn't get me. I think that there were just a lot of easier targets, you know.
Well, you know, I if I was going to play a rib on somebody, it probably wouldn't be somebody 6'7". That's just
right, me. And I think that might have been what saved me.
What do you have coming up? I know you got a show this weekend. What's on the immediate schedule for Luke Gallows?
Well, this weekend's a big thing. This WrestleFest show we're doing here, we just had to move the venue due to shady circumstances within the community here, but we're going to be in Stockbridge, Georgia at the Mosley Center. Bell time's going to be 8 o'clock. You got Domino on the bill, along with Luke Gallows for the Luke Gallows Domino World Tour. We have Raven. We have former WWE Dark E.H. Smith, we got Jimmy Rave, we got Mike Taylor, Tracy Taylor, Danny Inferno from the recent National Geographic special. So we got a pretty loaded up card, and we're very excited. So anybody that's in the Southeast, come on out and see us. It's going to be a great show.
That's right. I almost forgot. You were in the Nat Geo documentary. You were just kind of there all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm kind of hanging out in the background for that.
I'm watching that. I'm seeing characters that, like Eric Sims, just kind of pops in my screen. And
you go, what am I watching?
I'm like, what? This is kind of, this is some different television.
Yeah,
that
was, the thing's a little strange.
Well, Luke, we appreciate your time tonight. We definitely want to wish you all the best of luck. And, you know, maybe one day down the road, we'll see you back in WWE.
Yep, sounds good. And thanks for having me on the show.